You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
This is the Roto Experts in the Morning, alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson and our king, that's a new one, Scott Engel, and Wall Street Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman. What is going on? Draft season is upon us. Matt got me some fantastic Earl Grey tea, so my voice is feeling better. Things are good. My draft is done. I don't have Chris Hogan. I feel good. I feel real good. Corey, what's going on?
Yo, what's the deal with you? Everybody, I'm a little bit out of it this morning. This Chris Hogan love that I'm seeing on these draft boards, I'm trying to wrap my hands around it. It's going to be a hot topic today as I try to get my life together, because I feel like as I've let y'all down.
Yeah, don't holler at Corey if you drafted, like, say, Lamar Miller, Eddie Lacy, and Chris Hogan. You won't like what you hear. But good
be
morning.
Like Scott. Scott has finally come to on Eddie Lacy. Be
has.
Like Scott.
He's finally come to Eddie Lacy.
I feel like Scott came around everything Corey said.
It took me a long time to get Scott together, you know what I'm saying? But I did figure it out. We don't have much time to work with you Chris Hogan people, though. So we got to get this done.
I don't know what you figured out with me. It was Dr. A that convinced me, not you. Anyway, I was going on. He was asking me how I was. So I'm doing good. And check out my new article on Seahawks.com this morning about ADP value players. Dalvin Cook going much too low in some mainstream drafts. Also, RotoExperts.com. Check out our brand new player pages. I write a complete article about it, telling you all the great information that is on there as well.
There you go. Matt Modica, how are you, sir? You had your first big money draft, first of five or first of six that you have going on this weekend. I know that. You split it with your buddy last night and made some picks you don't normally make.
Oh, yeah. Me and Vlad Sedler teamed up last night. I'm happy with the team. I think it's a very solid team. And for me, it's going to be diversification on some players that I probably won't have. And it's, you know, you see the board changing as we get closer. And I'm just excited for this weekend to get going.
Yeah, absolutely. I felt that exhilaration last night. And I said it a couple hours ago. But literally, as my first two picks, I'm freaking out. I'm not someone that takes a lot of time with my picks. I told you, we time it. You have a minute and a half per pick. And I'm not someone that ever sits my minute and a half, because, like, you know, I have a plan going in, but I'm trying to trade. I'm freaking out. I don't know what to do. And
stop worrying about trading and just draft the team.
Well, I had a plan, yeah. Corey. My plan got went awry.
So you just got to be ready with the next player up.
Well,
that's it.
I made it work, Scott. It
fell fortunately for you, thankfully.
Yes, yeah. It did. The Dalvin Cook thing, you're right, Scott. You're seeing him fall a little bit. I don't really know why. I don't know why he's falling.
Because people are drafting Travis Kelce and Drew Brees, you know.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. He's talking about trading. And the guy at 11, I have it at 10. The guy at 11, the two of us throughout the third round of the draft are desperately trying to trade up. And I'm looking at the board. I'm like, clearly, everyone's just trying to trade up for Dalvin Cook. Like, he's the last good running back there. Everyone's trying to trade up for him. And he trades up for DeAndre Hopkins.
I'd rather be queuing up players than worrying about trades.
Well, I like having fun. So, you know, whatever. To each his own. We'll come back. We'll talk more about players Maddie and I took last night in the final week of the preseason. That's right. Coming up 15 minutes from now. This is Roto Experts in the Morning on Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network, here live with you
on the Fantasy Sports Network as well. We're rocking and rolling. Dr. A coming up just about 10 minutes or so from now. Look forward to that. Scotty.
You know, there's one thing I just want to bring up here while we're talking about strategy. And I addressed it, Big League Impact the other day at Yankee Stadium, which I'll do at Citi Field next week. You know, check it out at bigleagueimpact.org if you want to register. They asked me to address the room on draft strategy, and I said, don't be that person that takes Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady in, like, the especially the second round or not even the third. Wait on a quarterback. And there's some people that just insist it. Like Corey was talking about, like, you know, I don't understand what you do Chris Hogan. People, you give them – Corey said, we failed people. We haven't. People are going to do what they're going to do ultimately because it's their own team. But every time I see people in a mainstream draft take Aaron Rodgers, and this is 4-point passing touchdown, too. I know how you feel about quarterbacks, Matt. They inevitably end up with a weaker team. It's just like, that's the thing that I don't get. Taking Aaron Rodgers or Brady early when you only have to take one, the position is deep, it's more predictable than others, and you inevitably end up with Jose's team, like he told me, like he showed to me on Twitter. Aaron Rodgers, a quarterback, Le'Veon Bell and Dalvin Cook is very nice, but then his wide receivers are Devontae Parker, Jamison Crowder, and Jeremy Maclin. Inevitably, it seems, when you take a Rodgers or you take a Brady, and you can even wait a little bit later on Breeze, your friend got him in the fourth round, you seem like you hamstring the rest of your team.
By the way,
it's just those two guys.
I did want to get some breaking news, and that comes via Adam Schefter, who appeared on Mike and Mike this morning. Hopefully you're not listening to that program. But anyway, on Mike and Mike this morning, Schefter told them, quote, "The more I hear and the more people I talk to, the more I think there's a very real chance that Ezekiel Elliott will get his suspension reduced." And Corey and I were just talking about this during the break when we saw this tweet pop up. It just kind of makes sense from both sides, right? It kind of makes sense that ultimately, the suspension at six games, if they can get it cut in half to about three, and this is kind of what we speculated on Friday, Matt. If they can get it cut in half to three or so, you're looking at Le'Veon Bell from last year. Zeke drops his, "I'm going to sue the NFL and go crazy." The NFL says, "All right, we're going to move on too because we don't really have all that much." And then it just kind of goes away. That's why I've kind of always thought that three is this, like, realistic number. We saw that Vontaze Perfect suspension got changed from five games to three games yesterday. I would not be surprised, much like Schefter, if this is three games.
If it does get reduced, I think you'll see the you're going to have to give a lot of props to Jerry Jones and his influence on this matter. Look, the NFL, they can backtrack it and say, look, we gave the number of games, six games, but the Players Association, so we negotiated all that. So I understand it from a PR point. I think if it does get reduced, it's four games.
You know, it'll be four games, not three. I mean, it's possible. Like, listen, if it gets reduced, I don't think it'll be more than four games, especially because if you deflate footballs, you get four games, and everyone will always say that. Like, I know it's a canned line, and I know they're not similar at all, but people are always going to say that. You can deflate a football and get four games, and you can have a domestic violence accusation.
The accusation against you. And deflating footballs is a crime against the game. Now, I understand that that's not...
Come on.
It's a crime against the game. That's cheating.
All right, so then every quarterback in the NFL should be suspended.
That's cheating. The deflating footballs is cheating. That's a crime against the game.
NFL be
because every quarterback deflated and inflated balls. Every quarterback did.
That's a Peyton Manning.
Everybody,
Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, Aaron Rodgers, they all do.
I think when you look at the details, it's not quite the same as what Brady
you're right. Russell Wilson would never do it. You're right.
There's nothing to do with it.
Yes, I like my football. The point was,
when the NFL stupidly gave the ability to these quarterbacks to have their own footballs, they adjusted how they wanted it.
When you talk about the Aaron Rodgers one, though, it's like the footballs were overinflated. You know,
Which is illegal. It's illegal.
And he got him back to within the legal limit.
Of course he did.
Brady's footballs were not the legal limit.
What's the difference? You still have to catch the ball. You still have to throw it. Like, who cares?
It makes a difference.
If it makes a difference
in terms of gripping the ball, etc. That's why people were, you know, so against the Brady thing, because when you're playing with the football at a certain PSI, there's a less chance of fumbling the ball or you know, makes it more catchable in some
with
cases.
The thing, with the thing with Ezekiel Elliott, right, and this is how it's going to affect drafts this weekend. Yeah. There is a couple, like, there is numerous reports. Josina Anderson reported that there was enormous showings of inconsistencies with the NFL investigation. This is what the NFL does. They yeah. wanted a scapegoat for this thing, and they used Ezekiel Elliott
as a
scapegoat.
USA Today reported that there was a very extensive report on USA Today yesterday about how they got this top lawyer who actually fought, you know, against the NFL with Brady,
etc. Jeffrey Kessler.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. That's the guy's name. And that they are prepared, like, to, quote, go nuclear on the NFL if they have to drag this thing out. They have a lot of, like Corey said, they alluded to a lot of inconsistencies. If you want to go deep, USA Today wrote a very
good piece on this. I'm trying to figure out, why would they do this? Why are they trying to do this to him?
They're trying
or just to anybody, period. Now they're going after Jarvis Landry. The woman said, there's nothing to see here. What the hell are they doing?
They're just trying to do the right thing
for once.
On a public relations basis.
Correct.
I think that's the thing here. My hope.
Maybe they felt they like bungled the Ray Rice thing.
They know they did.
I'm saying, you know, maybe that's why they're doing this.
And the Josh Brown thing.
My hope is this. Over the weekend, I hope somebody gets excited about this news and takes Zeke at 3 and I get Antonio Brown at 4.
That'd be awesome, Glenn Lowe.
Okay, so everything we are hearing, everything we are reading, right, is that Ezekiel Elliott's suspension is going to get reduced. And we said, like, last year when Le'Veon Bell was suspended for the first 3 games, he went in the middle of the second round on a lot of places, and it was like, wow, that was a steal. That worked out really well. If Ezekiel Elliott's suspension really does get reduced, we have to definitively say where we should take him. I want to know, for the 3 of you guys, think what that definitive place should be. Scotty?
Where I have him right now, probably the end of the first round. Maybe I even bump him up 2 spots or 3 spots, because as Matt will tell you, you know, as he said before, what did Le'Veon Bell, you know, miss last year, and look how he came back.
Absolutely.
You know, like, some guys are going to miss inevitably 2-3 games with injuries anyway. You know, this guy is going to be out and he's going to be dominant when he comes back.
Matt, Ezekiel Elliott, if he's suspended for 3 or 4 games, I don't know if that's a big difference to you, that number, but if he's suspended for 3 or 4 games, where should we take him?
If he's suspended for 3 games, I think he's between the 6th and 10th pick.
Yep.
Maybe you can maybe even make the argument you can go hard, but I think the 6th to 10 is fair.
So if you're drafting tonight, the problem is, we're not going to know this until after drafts are done.
We're not going to be till Tuesday till we know.
I think it might be a little bit later.
But somebody's going to pull the trigger.
Just like with everything else with the league.
I think they have to get him back like a week after it's done. And I think the organs will be done today. So I think by a week from today, we have to know. I made that up or not. But I think it's by a week from today, we have to know. And all the drafts are going to be done by then. So we're not going to have a definitive answer.
Some people do draft after the season.
What the majority of drafts?
Yeah. I think you'll know by like Tuesday, Wednesday, the latest.
Yeah. They might be holding back some drafts.
And that's fine. That's fine. We'll know by Tuesday, Wednesday.
Because they got to give the Cowboys. They have the Cowboys here, too. They have to give this team.
So that's all well and good, Matt. But what do we do this weekend? Are you saying 6 to 10 this weekend?
I think there's going to be people that are going to be... It's like with injuries, how we're always optimistic with injuries.
Right.
We're going to be optimistic with this. We've seen suspensions routinely get reduced. So I would say if it goes to 4 or 3... Look, if you were taking him anywhere like right after the first round, and now you think it's going to go lower, why aren't you taking him in the middle of the first round?
Corey, would you take him pick 6 to 10 this weekend?
Yeah, I probably would. I think you got it. I think it's optimism out there. The NFL, don't just they're destroying this. They're messing this thing up once again. You know, they're doing a bad job. Just now they're going after people that, you know, whatever. So I think you got to start to seriously consider moving him into. I'll go from 2-3 turn to 1-2 turn. Devontae Freeman, Ezekiel Elliott. Melvin Gordon, Ezekiel Elliott.
So then I should have taken him last night.
You didn't have this information.
No, I didn't have this information last night. And you can only draft what you have, obviously. The news of Ezekiel Elliott continues to change. I just think, like I said,
he's under oath today. Today he testifies under oath. He should knock it out the park today.
We'll find out.
He should finish him today.
We'll find out. You know.
But then again, the arbitrator was hired by the NFL too, so you never know with these things.
It's true, Harold Henderson, a long time ago. But he was the guy that reduced Greg Hardy's suspension from 10 games to 3.
Yeah.
if that means anything, which I don't know if it does. Okay, so coming up next, we got Dr. Ray joining us, Inside Injuries. You guys did a special with him earlier this week. It's on YouTube. Check it out, Fantasy Sports Network YouTube account. We also have a bunch of preseason games.
I was excellent in that video, too.
Were you?
Yes.
Oh, I expect nothing less. All right.
Scott was probably excellent, but he forgot.
We also got a bunch of preseason games. I don't want to go game by game because
what are you,
Matt? If anything, any player, any team, any game, is there anything specific you're looking for tonight?
Just like I mentioned earlier, I'm looking at the guys in the second half of drafts that if they can maybe do something, want to see what they can do, and guys that are fighting for roster spots.
Scott, same question.
I don't know if I'm looking for much.
Are you gonna watch? Honestly,
I might check out some highlights. He's not playing.
All right, so tomorrow when Scott comes in, he'll watch extensive highlights, I promise you. Yeah. We come back. It's
nothing
Dr.
Wrong
Ed,
with that.
Inside and Injuries here on the Road to Ashworth. Ezekiel Elliott, Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year. Much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing Fantasy Sports Network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes. All right, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's that time of the week, Thursday mornings, 8:25 in the East, 5:25 in the West. And that's why we talk to our buddy from Inside Injuries. He is the expert. He is Dr. Ray. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, guys. How are you guys this morning?
Good, Doc.
We're doing well.
Doc, I'm feeling... I think my blood pressure might be a little high because people drafting Chris Hogan in like the 6th, 7th round of drafts, Doc. And I hope that I can remain at our peak performance because it's really blowing my mind.
It's that time of year again, Corey, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, my throat's been bothering me, but Matt Modica helped me out, so I'm feeling a little bit better now. What I wanted to ask you about, Doc, is, you know, the same guys we always start with. So I want to do a quick hit here with both Andrew Luck and Odell Beckham. With Odell, he was dancing around the locker room yesterday. I told you
he'd be doing that.
So it looks like his ankle's getting a little bit better. Obviously, there's still no word on Andrew Luck. Have you seen or heard or read anything new on both Luck and Odell?
So, yeah, dancing is a lot different than
playing football
on the field in five NFL football games. So, and precautionary standpoint, I don't know if the doctors and trainers want to see him dancing. You know, it's a very, very touchy injury, high ankle sprains. And, you know, it's just nothing new on him. It's a grade 2 high ankle. Showing some signs of improvement. He went to get some treatment, special treatment. So I think still we're not changing our projection is that he'll be in peak.
Did we lose Doc there? We just lost Doc.
Hope Doc.
There you go.
Oh, wait. Your cell performance factor is low, Doc.
Yeah. I didn't get that, boys. What did you guys say?
No, we had lost you for a second.
We lost you for a second there, Doc.
So he was worried to make sure you was all right.
Do we lose him again?
But week 3 is when we expect him to be earliest is back. If he's back before that, be very, very careful with him. Nothing new on Andrew Luck. Still not taking significant throws here and there. You could see a little bit of snippets of him throwing. However, still, if he starts either in the first game or the second game, I would be very, very cautious with him. Again, he's a week 3. Looks like he'll be back into peak health.
All right, there you go. Those are the big two, Andrew Luck and Odell Beckham Jr.
Doc, good morning. DeMarco Murray, Chris Wessling of NFL.com the other day tweeted that Murray – does not look like he looked last summer, that the hamstring looked like an issue. And then I went to the Inside Injuries app, and it pretty much corroborated what Chris Wessling said, that, you know, that it looks like DeMarco Murray is a health risk.
Exactly right. We've had him for the whole summer at elevated injury risk and below average. And then he, lo and behold, you know, gets his grade two hamstring strain. And, you know, hamstring strain, grade two, it's not one or a little tweak. It is a grade two hamstring strain. What we're saying, that's a pretty significant impact to a running back. We have an optimal recovery time of 5 to 6 weeks right now. So we don't see until, again, week three or week four. But he's still elevated injury risk the whole season. He's a guy that we've always sort of on our board has said that, you know, be very cautionary with this guy because of all his previous injuries and the way he's showing up and performing in the off season and in training camp.
So you're saying he might not be himself till week three or week four?
Correct. Exactly right. With a grade two hamstring.
Hey, Doc, good morning. Another running back we'll touch on, rookie running back Leonard Fournette. He's been practicing. He's been falling down draft boards. You have an optimistic outlook on him?
Well, this is the one guy on our board and then in your list that has actually got an optimistic outlook, according to us. It's only a grade one foot. It's not a two. It doesn't have a fracture. And not a lot of previous injuries. Obviously, he's pretty early in his NFL career. His optimal recovery time is 2 weeks, so he should be almost back to peak health. He did drop right now because of the injury, but as time goes on right before the first game, he should be back to low injury risk and at least above average performance and possibly back into peak health for game one. So it does look overall optimistic on Leonard Fournette right now.
All right, there you go. Dr. A, InsideInjuries.com. Download the app. It's brand new. It's awesome. Inside Injuries. It's Dr. A. Hey, Doc, what is the latest? I had a decision last night in my draft between Danny Woodhead and Theo Riddick. And I took Theo Riddick because I hadn't liked what I was reading about Woodhead, who's a guy that's always injured, that right now has a hamstring injury. From what I've seen, he hasn't practiced in a while. He's not playing in preseason games. He has no quarterback right now. What's the latest here on Danny Woodhead?
No, you hit the nail on the head. This is one of those style of play type of algorithmic decision making that our algorithm does. For all intents and purposes, he's had enough time to heal from all his injuries. But because of the style of play he has and because of, you know, sort of the offensive line health that we're showing and, again, the quarterback situation, in addition to the fact that, you know, if you look at his body type and body size, he is an injury-prone guy. So our medical board actually reviews these types of players, and we have listed him as an elevated injury risk and below average, and he likely will not get into low injury risk category to start the season, and therefore likely will be at elevated injury risk throughout the whole season. So I think the decision that you made was a good one.
Nice.
Hey, what's good? Doc, what's good with you, my man?
Good injury news for Greg.
Everything is good, man. I'm really excited. You know, the NFL season is starting. This is our wheelhouse. This is
no
the
doubt.
Time of year. Pretty excited about all that good stuff happening. Our website's going to get launched, a full-fledged website, next week, and we're really, really excited about that.
Make sure on rotoexperts.com you check out on our new player cards, the Inside Injuries area.
Anything else you'd like to ask Dr. A. Scott, or can I speak now?
So, Doc, how does Tyrod Taylor looking?
So, concussion, we're listing it right now as a grade two. Did you guys see the video on this at all? He hit his head on the turf.
Yeah, I watched it live, Doc.
Yeah, me too.
Probably watched it.
Okay, so everyone needs to understand is that a head injury and a head impact to another player's helmet, there's a give, right? The other player's helmet moves back, and you know there's a little bit of a give. When the head hits the turf, what is immovable, right? The turf. And so all of the impact goes back into the player's hitting that player's head. And so it's a pretty significant.
I mean, Dr. A makes
it how he responds. We will see how he responds to concussion protocol, basically. But right now, it's pretty significant in our eyes.
Yeah, so he makes a really good point there, that it's not like, all right, you collided with another guy where he gives, you give. This is literally up against the turf, and it's just like there's zero give. It's just your head bouncing off this harder surface, and it's like, oh my god! And that's why they have it listed as a great
I remember one game I saw that happen. This is when Josh Gordon went crazy that year.
Yeah,
he caught this pass going out of bounds, fell on the turf. Banged his head bounced up. He came back in the game and scored an 85-yard touchdown. I think this guy's the best wide receiver to ever play. All right, Doc, let's get into it.
He got drafted last night.
As well he should, because he has his hearing coming up, too. All right, Doc, Jeremy Hill. I hate to say it like this, Doc, but...
You asked me? No, I want to know.
Okay. Jeremy Hill, Doc. I hate to say it like this, but we kind of need him to get out the way. What's the latest with Jeremy Hill's injury?
He's hopeful.
So, it's a grade 2 ankle sprain, okay. Not a 1 or a soft tissue. So,
not enough.
Pretty significant for him. But so, first, we expect him to be fully at peak health again and low injury risk at a minimum of the second week right now.
Let's build that up to a grade 3.
Let's just push that up. Fantasy players so selfish.
See that? Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Will it make you feel better that he may be at elevated injury risk the whole season, but he's like these high-risk, high-reward guys? He'll be back to peak health or almost at peak health in week 2, but he's still at elevated injury risk. Will that make a difference in your eyes?
Well, let me ask.
He is one of these guys. He's a high risk, high reward.
Doc, let me ask you this.
Enough is high reward.
When it comes to players like myself and Corey, where we're kind of begging you to tell us that Jeremy Hill is more injured, as a medical professional, does it bother you that fantasy players root for injuries?
He got an app. No.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me, but you know, unfortunately, it is what it is, and we can't change medicine. But that's why you play fantasy, right? You're not rooting for injury in the real world; you're rooting for injury in the fantasy world, right?
Yeah, sure. Scott, I'll allow you to ask your Cooper Kupp question.
Yeah. What about Cooper Kupp's groin?
Yeah. So
maturity.
Grade 1 groin strain. It's not bad. Minor tweak. He's still at low injury risk. They're just taking him a sort of as a precaution. It only dropped him from peak to above average 2 weeks. He should be back for game 1. We don't see this as a huge issue for him.
All right, there you go. You got to be happy about that. All right, Dr. Wright, Inside Injuries. You hear on the Roto Experts each and every week. Make sure you download the app, Inside Injuries, and also check out the video that Scott and Corey did with Dr. Wright live via Skype. You can see Dr. Wright face-to-face on YouTube. It's a Fantasy Sports Network YouTube account. Make sure you check out the video. It's a half-hour conversation, a fantastic conversation, very insightful with Dr. Wright, the good doctor of Inside Injuries. Doc, as always, we appreciate the time. We look forward to talking to you next week, where we will actually have live football games. So that's cool.
Yes, very excited, guys. Thanks a lot, and have a great day.
We appreciate it. Coming up next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, it's time to do some mini ranks. There's all these guys that are kind of grouped together. I know you have a big cut line draft today. You have major money drafts coming up this weekend, as do you, Corey. We had a lot of drafts, and I want to know how you pick apart some players that are very, very similar. The mini ranks are coming up next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Sports Radio Network, Roto Experts in the Morning. I have no idea what's going on.
That's one.
It was on. It was on. Okay. I had to make sure it was on.
Now all of a sudden.
Wait a minute. You literally don't even have the mic on.
I was touching the button and my mouth was moving at the same time.
real quick, two things.
Yeah.
Number one, you make this joke that I just don't get how it's a joke. like you joke about me watching extensive highlights. I don't get that.
It's not the game, Scott.
Well, the joke, not every game is televised.
Well, the joke was you didn't watch it this weekend. That I said I watched the Tyrod Taylor thing live, which I did. Me too. I was like, no, you didn't. You watched extensive highlights.
Yes, I did. But every game that's live that I can catch that's on, I do. And every other game, I make sure I watch the
highlights
film on.
Highlights don't
so
give
well
you
prepared.
Game situations. You can't really get the full of what's going on.
Have you ever went on the Xbox app and seen the extensive game highlights they have?
No, I haven't.
So you can't comment then.
All right, good. Yeah. So good. You got anything else? Yeah. So can we talk about players now?
Secondly, we'll talk about DeMarco Murray. Y'all was killing me yesterday. And now Dr. A and the inside injuries come out after yesterday and corroborates everything I said yesterday. So now
And I'm
what?
Not dropping him down my board.
Okay. But you can't kill me for dropping me down mine either. So
I don't kill you for dropping it.
But you said yesterday that's one person and one source. Now we got Dr. A too backing it up.
So
Scott getting on his soapbox now.
Scott, it's funny because last week you accused me of saying the same thing when it comes to Odell Beckham. You're optimistic because you're a Giant fan. I'm like, has nothing to do with the Giants. Now it's the same thing with DeMarco Murray, right? Like he's not on the Giants at all. And I'm saying it's the same thing. One source, one guy saw something, and you know
now we got. Two legitimate sources.
We do. And DeMarco Murray, he may have that grade 2 hamstring injury that Dr. A referred to, and that may very well be true. But the fact that he's already back practicing and he played, I think he may be a little bit closer to coming back fully healthy than Dr. A thinks.
Based on what? You've ever had two legitimate sources say that the guy is going to start slowly and he's not himself.
And we had the Corey asked the Titans beat writer yesterday, and he said he's getting there.
Yeah, he's getting there, which is not an endorsement. That's not exactly when it says he's getting there. That means he's not there. So there's no ringing endorsements that they're against this.
The mini ranks. Let's get in the mini ranks here. A lot of people want to know how you break down certain tiers of players. And as I said last night, I took Amari Cooper probably one spot before I really wanted to. Whatever. I mean, it was fine. They're very close. Him and Brandon Cooks for me. I know he's much higher for two of you guys. But I wanted to start. Do a little mini rank here for guys that are similar. We talked about that Amari Cooper tier the other day. Amari Cooper, Doug Baldwin, Dez Bryant, and Brandon Cooks. And I asked you guys to break it down the other day, and you did. So I wanted to go a little bit later on. So I have five guys that are all kind of in the same tier. And I'd love to know how you break down these five players. Corey, we'll start with you.
Let's do it.
Mini rank. DeAndre Hopkins.
Yep.
Allen Robinson.
Yep.
Keenan Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Golden Tate.
Yeah.
T.Y. Hilton,
Golden Tate. D-Hop, Allen Robinson.
And Keenan Allen last?
No. Keenan Allen before, right after Hopkins. I left Keenan Allen out by accident.
All right, so you're going T.Y. Hilton, number one. Golden Tate, number two, yes. Which is interesting because he's lower for a lot of people than that. Tate, two. DeAndre Hopkins, three. Keenan Allen, four. Allen Robinson, five.
This is on. I'm ranking this as for safety. Or you want like ranks for fantasy purposes?
I want to know if I'm on the clock and these five guys are there. Who should I draft?
Okay. T.Y. Hilton.
Okay.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, so you're changing. Okay, Hopkins too.
Keenan Allen.
Okay.
Michael Crabtree. Allen Robinson.
Golden Tate's not it. I'm sorry.
Golden Tate. Allen Robinson.
Okay, so you're drafting Hilton first. You changed it. Tate goes all the way down. Hilton one. Allen two. You said.
Hilton 1, Allen 2.
Hopkins 3.
Hopkins 3, then Golden Tate.
Golden Tate 4, Allen Robinson 5. Interesting. Okay, Scott.
Same guys. Okay. I am going to go Allen first, Tate second, Hilton is
T.Y.
third.
Hilton, Scott.
Yeah. You couldn't remember neither, but out. Hilton, who are the other two? It's Hopkins.
And Allen Robinson.
And then Hopkins and Allen Robinson.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mudika.
I'm pretty much with Corey. The three or four guys, Allen and Tate, it could flip-flop as far as I'm concerned.
So
either of them. So it would be Hilton, Hopkins, Tate, Allen, Robinson, or Allen, Tate.
Judging by what you're saying this morning, Matt, it feels like you've gotten a little bit higher in DeAndre Hopkins than you were previously.
Well, I'm willing to take the shot in the third round on this guy. He's still a supreme talent. You know, there is that caution of the quarterback situation, but, you know, you got to, at some point, step up and take a shot. And if I don't have to pay if I don't have to pay the end of the second round, which I didn't do, but I can get him in the end of the third round, yeah, I'm all in.
DeAndre Hopkins, for me, I have it ranked that I would take T.Y. Hilton, then Keenan Allen, then DeAndre Hopkins, then Golden Tate,
then Allen Robinson.
So Allen Robinson's pretty much the low guy.
It's five for every, yeah. It's five for everybody here. That's like the one consistent
thing
that I've seen.
The Blake Bortles factor, yeah.
Pretty much. Okay, let me put you another tier of wide receivers for you guys. Ready? Here we go. Matt, we'll start with you. We'll go the other way. Mm-hmm. Emmanuel Sanders, Martavis Bryant, Larry Fitzgerald, Stephon Diggs, Devontae Parker.
Diggs is going to be number one.
Okay.
That's the easy part.
That's the easy part, okay.
It's more of a thing for me at this point where they all go. It yep. would be for roster construction. But I'll put Fitzgerald up there at two.
Okay.
Because I think he's going to get 100 receptions.
I agree.
I just don't see how that's going to happen.
As long as he stays
out there. Sanders, Bryant, and Parker.
It's tough. I mean, all these guys go right now. I know some are going a little bit earlier, especially in recent drafts. But most of the guys I'm naming are, we're talking like that 5-6. The guys before that were worth like 3-4. That's kind of what I was looking for.
The 3-4, if I needed the reception, it would be Sanders. If I want the upside, it would be Parker. I mean, not Bryant. And then Parker would be the...
Parker's
still got to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I've seen Martavis Bryant, what he can do on the field. Emmanuel Sanders is a top 20 receiver every season. So that would be my.
So you were going Diggs 1, Fitzgerald 2, Sanders 3, Bryant 4, Parker 5, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Scotty.
Martavis Bryant, then Larry Fitzgerald, then Emmanuel Sanders, then Diggs, and then Parker.
All right, another person, Parker last, which is very interesting.
Why Martavis Bryant first?
I love Martavis Bryant. Not only he's big, he's fast, he can take a top off of a defense. But they also
all of these guys signs. Are big and fast, Scott. Devontae Parker's big and fast, too.
Okay, why don't you answer the question for me? Why don't you ask yourself a question?
He's going to answer the question for
himself. Okay, anyhow, Martavis Bryant can take the top off of defense in a big, big way. He's big and he's fast, not like every other one. Larry Fitzgerald could not take the top off of defense for your other interruption. But they're going to work him even more into the short and intermediate passing game. I think he's going to have a huge year.
Real quick, though, Martavis Bryant hasn't been fully reinstated, right?
I believe he has.
He has been fully reinstated?
I believe he has fully been reinstated.
I thought there was one more step.
Yeah, I think he's got one more step.
He had to pass another drug test?
Probably have to pass another drug test, I think. Okay. Yeah, Scott is
right. Let me on Bell House. They got to kill
him. I know what Scott's talking about. Like, clearly in the last preseason game, tried very hard to work him on the shorter routes and not just be the deep threat that he was prior to the suspension. There's no question about that. It's will he have that success, which he might.
I think he will, and like say like Corey will. No, I well. Okay,
you said he's big
Let me spell it out for you how
Everybody
I often
in the NFL
did
is big
during the
fast.
First 5 years we worked together.
Everybody in the
I
NFL
said,
is big and fast.
If you listen
Scott,
you and you never and listen to me fully, you always jump down my throat when I'm halfway through a sentence and never let me finish. Is that he's big and he's fast, but he's also going to be a short and intermediate receiver. Not every receiver is big with that kind of explosive speed.
I'm just making sure that you're not telling the people I like him because he's big and he's fast.
If you would have let me finish my sentence, they would have heard me
say
that.
So I'm going to go Stephon Diggs, Larry Fitzgerald, Emmanuel Sanders, Martavis Bryant, Devontae Parker. And they're all right in that same group.
Well, they're all in the same group. That's why I grouped them together. So here's what's interesting to me.
Willie Snead's in that group, too.
I don't think he is.
To me, he is.
I don't think he is anymore.
Let him slide down the draft board.
He is. Okay. So here's the consistent thing. All three of you guys put Devontae Parker last. Which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, maybe these guys are more, the other four are probably more established at this point. Devontae Parker lasts for all three of you.
Yeah, no, Devontae Parker is the guy that has to prove it on the field throughout the course of his season. Look, Jay Cutler is not a great quarterback,
Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall.
We're excited about it. Yes, we are excited that Cutler's there. He's made the faster Alshon Jeffrey come. We've seen in the preseason them hooking up. So there's excitement there. How is it going to be drafted? The order would be totally different.
What if I added Jameson Crowder to this crew? Where would he fit?
I think Crowder belongs in there.
He'd be the first one.
He'd be first?
He'd be the first one.
Diggs would still be number one for me.
So you have Diggs first. You have Diggs first, Corey, without Jameson Crowder. Scott, I noticed. What's wrong?
What's wrong, Scott?
Because somebody just did it. Look, I like Jake Williams. He follows me on Twitter. But he just did the thing that Greg did, when Greg's friend did this morning. You know what he said?
What?
I told him, he said, how do you like my team graded? So I did during the break. But I said, you have Russell Wilson and Matt Ryan. You probably went too early on a quarterback. Yeah. And he says, I'm not sweating it. We still have a lot of talent on the waivers.
There you go.
You know, it's you don't draft your team when you say that you're already looking at waivers.
The draft is the waiver wire.
Right. You already had a chance, an opportunity.
The bench is your waiver wire.
Opportunity to get the players you should have got. When you're saying that the free agent list, you like what you have, you're already backpedaling and you made a mistake.
All right, Scott, here's one thing else I noticed in the ranks. You had Diggs first, Matt. You had Diggs first as well, Corey, when Crowder was in it. Scott, you had Diggs fourth out of those five. Why?
He's not big and fast.
I didn't say he was just big and fast. It's kind of like when you write, when I edit your articles and you say a guy is talented, like everybody's not talented.
That's not really the answer to my question.
What? But he's butting in again. I can't focus on your question. Okay, answer the question again.
Now they're not responding to Jake Williams here. Stephon Diggs, you had him fourth.
Right.
These two guys both had him first.
Right.
Why do you have him lower?
I like Diggs just not as much as these guys. I worry about the durability, and I think Adam Thielen is a better big play with receiver.
Does it make you like things less with Thielen in the slot right now?
I just think Thielen is the big play guy there.
Okay, fair enough. We're coming back. I have one more mini rank to do. I wrap up the show. Sending in the Fantasy Football Frenzy, co-host of my Mike Blewett today. We'll do that next.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at RotoExperts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
All right, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Final Five, Fantasy Football Frenzy, co-hosted by Mike Blewett today. In the house, which would be cool. There it is!
That's one.
That's a legitimate.
Are they trying to get rid of me? Huh?
I believe
Did Mike Blewett brought here to replace me today, huh?
Was it you
what
that,
the hell
was
is
it
going
you that
on?
Invited Mike Blewett?
Huh?
Was it you that invited Mike Blewett?
Oh.
Trying to place yourself.
I'm not doing a good enough job.
All right, I got one more mini-ranked that is all these kind of running backs that are very, very similar. That
Scott, pull up your rankings.
Please.
They've been up.
That aren't that they're kind of like 5-6 running backs. Okay, the fifth or sixth running backs. Here we go. Last five. Scott, we'll start with you. Ty Montgomery, Theo Riddick, Danny Woodhead, Amir Abdullah, Mike Gillisley.
Exactly in the order you just rattled them out.
Montgomery, Riddick, Woodhead, Abdullah, Gillisley.
Yes.
Okay. Scott, thanks. Nice job, Corey.
All right, I'm about to write these down.
Here, just you can look at the rundown. That'd be cool.
Let you pull up the rundown, Corey.
Yeah. All right. Mini ranks. Let's go right here. That's
you're used to mini. Let's go.
This is a funky bunch right here. I would go Theo Riddick, Danny Woodhead, Ty Montgomery, Amir Abdullah, Mike Gillisley.
All right. So there you go. So Abdullah Gillisley, both 4-5 both ranks. You have now moved Riddick ahead of Woodhead, which is interesting.
Not healthy.
You're the same thing I did, which is cool. All right, Matty Mo.
I'm going to go Montgomery 1.
Yep.
Still going to go with Woodhead at 2.
Okay.
Riddick at 3, Abdullah 4, and Gus Gillisley 5.
What's also interesting is that everybody had Riddick above Amir Abdullah. I find that kind of interesting because Amir Abdullah should be the guy in Detroit, no?
But Amir Abdullah has a defined role. He has a defined role. He's averaged 5 receptions a game for the past 2 seasons. They're talking about getting him even more involved in the red zone. Look, I could see the one guy I don't have is Amir Abdullah. I could see him finally coming to fruition. That's a possibility. Gillisley, I still like if I can get him at the right price.
What is the right price?
If you get him in that eighth round, if he's there for you, or maybe even end of this. Look, the Patriots run a ridiculous amount inside the 5 yard line.
Yeah,
they have there's going to be like, you know, there's going to be a ton of rushing touchdowns this year. I mean, is Gillespie going to get them all? No, but sure. I still think he's the number one goal line.
I agree with that. Over Rex Burkhead, probably still at this point.
Let me. Now I want to mention something right quick. Chris Hogan, because I'm still in this Chris Hogan thing. 74 catches, 953 yards, and seven touchdowns. It sounds like what Scott thinks Cooper Kupp's going to do.
Yeah, it's Cooper Kupp.
Do you think he can do that, Chris Hogan? 74, 950, and 7.
No.
I don't think he catches 70 passes.
Exactly.
I think maybe he can catch 6 touchdown passes, and the yardage could be over 800.
What did you say? 74 receptions? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
That is double the receptions he had last year.
Exactly.
He had 38 receptions last year. You think he's getting a 74?
This is what somebody said to me on Twitter. That in 2014, Brandon LaFell, the third option in New England, caught 74 passes, 953 yards, and 7 touchdowns with Edelman and Gronk in there. Brandon Cooks wasn't there. Hello?
Everybody's like eliminating Brandon Cooks and pushing Hogan up the board.
It would have to happen with Malcolm Mitchell not getting an increased role in this offense. That's the key. I mean, Hogan's got to dominate that. And Mitchell's got to, because a lot of people, I mean, Mitchell has an opportunity here as well. But, I mean, I do like Hogan. I just don't like him in the sixth round.
By the way, Corey Hogan is big, but he's not fast.
Scott, are you going home today? I'm going to talk to you after the show, Scott.
Really?
When I'm done with the friends, I need to have a talk with you, Scott.
He's got a big draft, ladies.
I have meetings with several other top priority clients, so you'll have to call me today, and see if I'm available. I'll have my administrative assistant get back to you.
Is that your son? Coming up next, the Fantasy Football Frenzy. He's not older than me. From Matt Modica, for Scott Angle, Eric Corey Parson, my name is Greg Sussman. We'll do it all again tomorrow. Have a fantastic rest of your day. Stay tuned for the Frenzy. We will see you then. Bye-bye.